Sunday evenings, and tell you what, rather than handing those out, just open your Bible to 1 Corinthians, because I'm just going to look at a verse that we all are familiar with anyhow. Rather than reading the entire chapter, we'll just read the three verses that I'm going to key on tonight and just work on in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23, 24, and is it 25 as well? 23 and 24 and 25. And I'll read it, and then you'll be very familiar with it, and then we'll cut the time down just a little bit. The Apostle Paul writes by the unction of the Holy Ghost, and here he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And I'll also read verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim," King James Bible says, "you do show the Lord's death until he comes." What are we doing when we partake of the table? We're proclaiming or showing the Lord's death. That's what it is. It's a proclamation. It's a proclaiming. It's a showing. It's a witness that we believe in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And we believe in what it's for. The body was broken so that we can be healed, spirit, soul, body, that we can be made whole. The blood is for the cleansing of our sins. And when we do show this, or when we do proclaim this, we are making a testimony, we are testifying, we believe this, we're in agreement with this. This is what our life is built upon. This is what our life is about. And so we do show the Lord's death until he comes. Last time we were together and we talked about this, I guess it was last Sunday night, we talked about the three basic areas of understanding where Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood." We talked about how the Roman Catholics believe in transubstantiation. We talked about how the Lutherans believe in consubstantiation, and how Calvinistic believes in just a symbol. And we talked about how that's all missing the point. The point is that the Lord wants us to do this in remembrance of him. It's a memorial supper. It's nothing. It doesn't matter all that other stuff. We major on minors. We strain at gnats and swallow camels, and we get messed up on what we really should be emphasizing. The emphasis is the remembrance and the showing of the Lord's death until he comes again. And that's the whole emphasis. And remember again that it was not because the Corinthians were not having the table of the Lord that they were being judged. It was because of the way they were having the table of the Lord. And we saw, and I said this last week, and it's worthy, and I'm going to say it again, and you'll probably hear me say it several more times before we finish this chapter. He says, "Because you have not rightly discerned the body of the Lord, many of you are weak, many of you are sick, and many of you are dead or asleep." So we see in this the way we discern the body. If we're not doing it correctly, if we allow divisions to come into our lives, into our hearts, into our church, into our body, where there's schisms, and some of our Apollos and some of our Paul, and some are of Cephas, and some of our Jesus, you know, and we allow this stuff to come into the body, then what this does for us is just work weakness and sickness and death. And the answer is understanding this, and once this really gets into us, then we'll grasp it and we'll have some truth. Once we understand and really grasp the truth, that if we flip that thing around and we'll understand then that strength is in proper relationship with the body, overcoming sickness is being in proper relationship with the body, overcoming death is in being in proper relationship with the body. Eternal life is in the church, is in the body. That's where it's going to come forth into us. I'm not talking about living forever in heaven with Jesus now. I'm talking about overcoming the last enemy. Now, it's all in the way we attach ourselves and function in the body of Christ. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 2. He tells us that we need to be fitly joined together. And he says that the body grows and prospers thereby. It's our understanding of the importance of the body of Christ. And people just don't understand the importance of the body of Christ. We call it church. We come to the meeting. But what the emphasis is in Paul's understanding is overcoming the enemy and being attached to the body and overcoming weakness, overcoming sickness, and overcoming death. And because we don't attach right, and we have divisions and schisms and factions in the body, and some are of this one and some are of that one, Paul says, you're weak, you're sick, and you're dying. I am firmly of the opinion that being in the body, in a proper relationship with the body that God has planted us in, will keep us healthy, keep us strong, and keep us alive. Now, that's tough to say when we just buried Miss Prayberry yesterday. But it's still the Word of God. Am I right now? And I'm going to say something, and I, sometimes I say things that I shouldn't say, or I say them when I shouldn't say them. Pastor Tebow and I ministered in the service, and Pastor Tebow was talking about how we lost a sister and how she had a sister and a brother and how they had lost a sister. And it struck me. When he came back down and sat down with me, I told him, I said, you know, if we really understood that, if we really could grasp the truth of the sisters and the brothers, when one of us was to go on, a building couldn't contain us. If we really saw her the way that the Lord wants us to see her, as a sister. Now, did I say that okay? I'm not being condemnational. I don't want to be. I'm trying to make a point that we have got to grasp the truth of the body of Christ. And we're not there. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is we're just not there. We play the game. We sing the songs. We walk through it. But have we really grasped the truth that was a sister? I'm just trying to make my point, is that we have got to learn the body of Christ and its importance. We're encouraged and told to call them sisters and brothers, but when one goes on, we're not here. I know that we're busy, we've got things to do. But I think that's some of what Paul is talking about here, is that because you haven't properly discerned the body of the Lord. I know that's heavy, and I know it's, you know, and I don't know if it's too much for us. But I think that needs to be said, because we haven't properly discerned who is our real sister and who is our brother and who are the people that we should love and care for, because we haven't done this. There's weakness and there's sickness and there's death. Well, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you." Now, this word "received" is a real good Greek word. I talk about it a good bit, particularly this word when you go back to its root meanings. I don't know if you can see that in the back. I hope so. This word actually means to receive near. Paul received this from the Lord and he held it near to him. And then he gave it to the Corinthians, and the Corinthians didn't hold it near to them. It wasn't as precious to them as it was to Paul. That was obvious in the way they handled it, and I think that's what he's saying here. When you trace it back to its root meaning, you find out that it means near, but the final root meaning is this Greek word here, lambano. Some of you have heard me talk about lambano before. And the word really means to take. It means to take. It's a word that Jesus used where brothers are taking, where he's talking about taking somebody to court, and somebody takes you to the court and they want to take your coat. It's a word of taking. It's the word that Jesus uses in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where he says, and you will receive the Holy Ghost. It's a taking. It's also where the Holy Ghost is given on through the book of Acts. It's a taking. You take it. And what Paul did here with this revelation is he took it and he held it dear to him and he gave it to them. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which I also gave or delivered to you. Something that's very precious. And what my thought is here is, how do we receive the word of the Lord, the table of the Lord? Do we receive it? Do we take it? Do we see it as something that's precious and dear to us? Or is it just another one of the things that we do in church? And I think it's adjusting our thinking. And Paul is emphasizing and encouraging the people here that when you have the table of the Lord, you grab it and you take it and you hold it near to you. It's a precious thing. It's a precious, precious thing. Anytime the Lord brings a word to us, brings an encouragement to us, gives us a revelation, it's a precious thing. It's the thing to lambano. It's the thing to grab a hold on. Another thing that you see here in that 23rd verse is that it was ministered at night. He says that night, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed. Passover was at night. And you know, we do communion in the daytime and at nighttime as well. But I was thinking about that. Isn't it always better at night? It just seems like there's something special about the nighttime services of communion. And true Passover, true communion, is having it at night and having a night service. And then it says in verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He took the bread and he broke it. The word bread, it's interesting. Tracing it back to its root word, it means to lift, to take up, or away, to raise it. And the picture I believe that it's painting there is that the Lord, as he took this bread, as he lambanoed the bread even, and he lifted it up and blessed it. And you can just see him, can't you? You see him doing that. You see him just taking it. I'm going to walk through the steps here in just a minute about the Passover supper. But he took that and he lifted it. And there was something obviously special about the way the Lord blessed bread. And it's consistent through the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 19, remember where he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the five loaves and the two fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. And then in chapter 15, the next chapter over, he took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to the disciples. There was something obviously special about the way the Lord broke bread. And he gave thanks. He was thankful for the bread. He was a thankful man. The thought that I want to project to us is, are we thankful people? Are we thankful that we are Americans? Are we thankful that we don't eat when we're hungry? We eat because it's time to eat. Do we thank the Lord just for the simple things that we take so for granted? Do we thank him for our church? Do we thank him for the praise and the worship? Do we thank him? Do we thank him for our children? Do our children thank him for their parents? Are we working thankfulness into the next generation or selfishness? The Lord took it and he thanked the Lord. And this is the being that created bread to start with. And he's thanking for it. We are blessed people. And I really believe, as I looked at that, you know, and I pray over our meals every time we eat at my house. And if you're honest, you'll probably be in agreement with me that many of the times that we pray over our meals is just because we're supposed to do it before we eat it. And it's another one of those things we just do. But as I studied and I looked at this, it kind of encouraged me, Dr. Cash, that I really need to be a thankful man. I am one blessed guy. And I take so much of it for granted. You are a blessed people. Just to live in America, you're blessed. To have God's calling and choosing on your life, you're blessed. To have your children serving and worshiping the Lord and working into them the things of salvation, you're blessed. And we really need to work a thankfulness into us. And that's, of course, one of the meanings of praise. Praise incorporates the meaning of thanking God. We praise Him for what He does. We worship Him for who He is. When we come into praise Him and worship Him, we're praising Him because what He's done in our lives. We need to be thankful that we're just living in America. That we can eat when it's time. And we don't even have to wait until we're hungry. Do you agree with that? And I really want us to get that stuck in us. Next time when we say the blessing or say grace or whatever that you call it, think about the Lord taking that and lifting it and thanking Father for it and breaking it and blessing it. I want to run quickly through the time of Passover. This was the Passover meal. And I think what I want you to do is turn to the book of Luke. Chapter 22, book of St. Luke, chapter 22, and I want to go through this Passover meal, this Paschal meal. Passover is one time interpreted Easter in the King James Version, and every other time I think it's interpreted Passover. And the New American Standard and other versions, it's always Passover. The word is really Passover. It's not Easter. That's the season. That was when Jesus was actually crucified. That's when He died, was at Passover. And in Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 14, and in the other synoptic gospels, Matthew and Mark, we have a description of this meal. And in verse 14, and when the hour had come, He reclined at table, and the apostles with Him. And He said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. I'm going to read some more there. But what's happened now, and you know the story, is He had sent His disciples ahead to prepare the room, to prepare. It was a preparation that had to be done. The room had been prepared. If you go back to the book of Exodus, you'll find out that this was for a family, and if your family was too small, then you were to encourage other families to eat with you, and the basic number was 12 people to have at the Passover. And what was prepared as they came in and sat down was a plate in front of each person, prepared for each person, a bowl or a glass of salty water, a plate which held bitter herbs. These would be lettuce or radishes or horseradish, or endive, or something like that was not sweet, not a sweet herb. Probably a boiled egg, a bowl of clean water, and a napkin. And that was prepared for each person. That was right in front of each person where they would sit. And again, you know, they're not sitting at the table, they reclined. In fact, I think, doesn't the verse say that? Verse 14. That's what the NASB says. And when the hour had come, He reclined at table. They didn't eat like we do. They didn't sit at a table. They would circle up, and the food would kind of be in the center, and they would be pillows, and they would be very comfortable. And it was a real relaxing, reclining time. It was an enjoying time. It was a family time when they would just enjoy one another's company and share and talk. And he reclined, and they reclined, and they had this setting in front of him. And then in front of the leader, which would, of course, have been the Lord or the Father in the normal house, in front of his place, he also had this set there. But also, in addition to that, he had three or four glasses of wine or the fruit of the vine, whichever way you want to go with it. And he had three cakes of bread that were placed in front of him. Now, the way it began is like in verse 17 says there. Now, Jesus comes in, they recline. He says, I have really wanted to do this with you. This will be the last meal I have until it's fulfilled. This will be my last meal. After this, I'll not eat again of this meal because it's going to be fulfilled. And then verse 17 begins the meal. And having taken a cup when he had given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. This was the initiation. One of these three or four cups of wine that would have been in front of the leader, he would then take, he would drink, and he would pass it, and each one would take it. Each one would take of the cup and drink of it, which showed their unity, showed their love one for another, and showed that they were together in this thing. That was the initiation. That was the beginning of the meal. The second thing that he would do now, the leader would do, is wash his hands in his bowl that was in front of him, and everybody had a bowl of clear water. They would wash their hands in it. Then the bowl of glass, a bowl of salty water that was there, they would then take, by his leading, one of the bitter herbs and dip it into the salty water and partake of it. Now what this was a remembrance of the bitter tears, of the tears that were shed. And they would remember that with the salty water. And the herb would be a type of the hyssop or hyssop, you can announce it either way, that was used to put the blood on the doorpost at the time of Passover. Now it started. Now this was the beginning of the meal. And Jesus here starts it, and you see this is what's happened. Now, in front of the leader, there was a stack of bread. All the bread is at him. All the bread is at the Father. And at Jesus, there's at least three loaves that are there. Three of the round cake loaves of unleavened bread. He would take one of the loaves, and probably the center loaf, and he would break it. And this is what we're talking about here. And this is what the scripture says. He took the loaf. He lambanoed. He took one of those. And he broke it. And he gave thanks. And then immediately he began to break it and pass it. The bread was broken and passed. And then it was held. Because when they came out of Egypt, they were to eat unleavened bread, and it was for a remembrance. They wouldn't eat it. They would hold it. They would place it on their plate, or they would hold it. Because the purpose of the bread was to take them back into time to a memorial to the time of the coming out, of the opening of the Red Sea and the deliverance from Egypt. And so they would hold it, and they would begin to think about that time, about the coming out of Egypt. This would be the bread, though, that Jesus took and broke and said, "This is my body." He took it, he broke it, and he passed it, and he says, "This is my body. Don't remember Egypt. Remember me." And the whole thing of the meal of the Passover was to remember their deliverance from Egypt. What we are to remember, what you and I are to remember as Christians, is the death of the Lord. He took it. He broke it. He didn't say, "Remember Egypt." He says, "Take this as my body." He broke it into pieces and he passed it around. I got some scriptures here back in Exodus and so forth, but I don't think we're going to turn there. I think we're just going to go through this and maybe some other time. What I would really like to do sometimes pretty quickly is have a Messianic Jew come and bring the tables in, and on a Sunday night, just have this meal and let them take us through it. And just really have it in our minds what was happening on that night so we can really remember it. And it can do a greater work into our lives. And that we'll take this that we're learning and pass it to our children so that they too can remember it in its proper place. But it was for remembrance. It was to bring them to that time. They took that bread. They held that bread. That was unleavened bread. And they took it and they held it. And they remembered the deliverance from Egypt. And what we're to do when we have the table of the Lord is to hold that bread a while. Now I know on Sunday mornings we don't have time, but on Sunday nights when we have our time here, we need to come and take time and hold that bread and remember the Lord and go back and lay down there with Him. Recline right there with Him. Think how it would have been to lay there at the feet of the Lord and hold the bread as He broke it and blessed it and passed it and gave it to us. And He says, this isn't Egypt anymore. This is Me. This is being fulfilled. And take it and hold it and remember how it would be to lay there with Him. And listen to Him. And that's what the table of the Lord is about. It's a time of remembrance. The next thing that happens is there was a planned response. They would ask a question such as this: why do we eat differently at this meal? At all other meals, we eat sweet or bitter herbs. At other meals, we may eat leavened or unleavened bread. We may eat boiled, stewed, or roasted lamb. But at this meal, we can only eat bitter herbs. We can only eat unleavened bread. And we can only eat roasted lamb. Why do we eat differently at this meal? This is the questions that was planned to ask because it demanded an answer and a response, and it was a memorial. And so what then the leader would do is go all the way back to Abraham and tell them the whole story of their heritage. Folks, heritage was important to them. We have lost that. I have gotten a computer program that's called Family Tree. I can only go back about two or three generations, Don. I think that my grandfather came from Germany. I think. They could go all the way back to Abraham. How far can you go back? I mean, think about that. We don't know what's back there. We can't tell our children that your granddaddy was a preacher or he was a demon or we can't tell them because we don't know. Folks, we got to get back to understanding some real vital principles that we can rehearse with our children, that we can tell them where we're from and where we've been and what we are and what we're about. Do you think so? How many of you would like to know your great ancestors? Would like to know where they were from, where you're from. How many? See, we live in America. This is a baby nation. It's only, 200 years old. We're talking about a nation here that's 2 millennia old. More than that. Good gracious. 6,000 years old. We went back to Adam. 4,000 to Abraham, I think, would be about right. And they could do that. I mean, they did. You know, Matthew and Luke. You know, we hit those verses, those chapters, and we said, man, let's skip this one. They didn't want to skip them. They wanted to know where they were from. And they went through this every year. And that was worked into those kids. And then they could rehearse it with their kids. And they could rehearse it with their kids. How do you think they remembered that? They heard it every year. Every year they heard about their granddad. And you can imagine how it would. They sit there and they sit.
How, God, listen to this again? But it worked it into them, didn't it? And when they were old and they had their family, they could sit there and they could tell them the story. Folks, it's important who your daddy is. All those begots for something in there, and they're just to emphasize to you. So he would go back to Abraham and he would bring them through, and then they would sing some songs. They would have praise. It's called the Hallel, H-A-L-L-E-L, and it's Psalms 113 through 118. They would sing a part of that, and then the next cup of wine would be passed, or fruit of the vine. It would be passed, which was saying that we are all in agreement to what we've said here. We are all in agreement to our heritage. We are all in agreement. We are all in agreement to what's being proclaimed and what these psalms are saying. And these psalms just declare the greatness of God and how He delivers us. Next thing that was happening is the second cup is passed. No, I just did that one. The eighth thing, everyone now washes their hands. See, the meal hasn't even started yet. Now they wash their hands. And their little white bowl, their little freshwater bowl. A prayer of thanksgiving is given, and then they eat the unleavened bread that was passed first. That's the first thing they did. Take and eat. This is my body. The herbs are eaten, which we can relate to as the salad. The bitter herbs are then eaten. And then the sop is taken. Now, the sop is not in Exodus. But how many knows that it really was something that the Lord did? Right? Judas took sop with Jesus. Now, the sop is not in Exodus. It's not in the original Passover meal. And the reason I'm saying this, you guys aren't ever going to forget this day. Because, see, 6 years ago I preached about Christmas and how wrong it was. And then today I told you, hey, I was wrong. You know, it's wonderful. A couple weeks after that, I told them how bad Easter was. Boiled eggs. But you know what? That Passover meal, the Lord probably had a boiled egg. I don't know if it was colored or not. But I just learned this, Roger. Roger, today I told him it's okay to have a Christmas tree. Amen. And I'm telling you, okay, it's okay to eat boiled eggs. Now, I don't think they talked about the Easter Bunny. I don't think they talked about Santa Claus, but I think they did this. And I was sharing this with somebody that was moving in a messianic way, and they said, but that was brought in at Babylon. You know, and maybe it was. Maybe the sop was. But the Lord Jesus probably ate a boiled egg at Passover. It's okay, isn't it? It's all right. Shirley likes to, don't you, Shirley? You like to hide Easter eggs, don't you? She does. She'll tell me. I like to do this. I don't care what you say. I like to do it. Now, they don't worship the Easter Bunny. They just have a good time at Easter. Is this all right? This is all right. So they would eat the sop. And the sop, I made some sop. I wanted to find out what it was. I got a Jewish cookbook not too long ago when I was making all this stuff. And it's a mixture of it's not what you would think. I thought it would, I didn't know what it really was, I don't guess. But anyway, what it is a mixture of nuts and apples and dates and pomegranate. I don't know how they do that, but I guess they squish it up and get the juice out of it. And it's mixed all together into a paste. And it's real sweet. It's a sweet tasting thing. And they would take and dip a piece of bread in there and eat that. That's called the sop. And in John 13:26 it says, Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. So Jesus did this, and that's what that was. And it's I guess we could see it maybe as an appetizer. The next thing that was happening is the lamb would be eaten. And you've heard me talk a lot about the lamb. The lamb had to be cooked in a very special way. It couldn't be boiled. It couldn't be fried. It had to be roasted. And it's a very beautiful type of Jesus Christ. They took the lamb, they slayed it, the blood was poured out, put on the lintel, you understand all that, and then they skewed him through. They skewed that lamb through and they hung him over a fire. And it's a very beautiful type of Jesus Christ hanging over the fires of hell until it was done with him. They took the lamb, they ate the lamb, they ate the remaining bread, and they passed it, they fellowshipped, they washed their hands after the meal. And then a prayer again was shared, asking for Elijah to come. Now, of course, Jesus didn't pray that prayer. The prayer that Jesus prayed, you'll find in John 17, where he talks about those that are afar off when they come. He says, Father, I pray for these, my disciples, and not for them only, but for all those who will come into the kingdom. So Jesus didn't pray for Elijah to come, because in Jesus' mind, Elijah had already come. He says, if you can receive it, John the Baptist was Elijah. So they prayed for Elijah, but Jesus didn't. He didn't do that. He just prayed for the disciples. And then the 16th thing is the third cup was now passed. If this was wine, and I'm not saying that it was, but if it was, and now you're on your third cup of wine. Would you kind of be happy and rejoicing? With, you know, in the book of Esther, it's always amazed me. It's you know, Esther was, Mordecai was going to kill off all the Jews, and so Esther planned this big banquet for the, it was a banquet of wine. It was a wine banquet. And she took Esther got the king and Mordecai there, and it says on the third day of the banquet of wine, they were well drunk. I guess so. After 3 days, after you've sat there, and this has happened. I mean, what I'm trying to get us to see is that, folks, there's a joy. There's the wine brings joy. It brings an lighting in a. I don't know. I don't know how I know this. I just know that that's what wine would do. And you know that one of the sacrifices, this is so neat, that they did in natural Jerusalem was the priest would take a cup of wine and go into the holy place and pour it out before the Lord. You know, it was incorporated into sacrifices. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm not encouraging you to drink wine. You know better than that. I'm just saying that we call things, sometimes we call things sin that's really not sin. And we got to learn to rightly discern and divide the Word of God and stop putting things in bondages and pigeonholes and just enjoy our lives. And I believe that the Passover was enjoyed by these people. Then the remainder, when this cup was passed, when the third cup was passed, would have been when Jesus said, likewise also the cup, after supper, saying, see that in verse 20 there? After supper, saying, so they went through the meal. And then after supper, then that cup was passed. We forget that there's a meal. There's a real meal involved here. There's a lot of memorials. There's a lot of remembering. There's a lot of going back and coming out of Egypt and going through the Red Sea, and there's a lot of remembering about that. After supper, he took the cup and he passed it, and he says, this is the New Testament, not Egypt, the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Then the remainder of the Hallel was saying, remember when it talks about him as they had finished the supper, they went across the brook. And they were singing a hymn. Remember that? In Mark 14, verse 26, it says, and after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I just want to say this. When you picture the Lord Jesus, how do you picture him? Holy and reverent with a scowl on his face all the time, walking around, better than anyone? Or can you see him singing? Can you picture the Lord Jesus singing a song and rejoicing and clapping his hands and worshiping. That's what they were doing right here, is they were worshiping him. They were worshiping Father. And the Lord Jesus sang. The Lord enjoyed life. I could say some things, but I won't. I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus enjoyed life. He liked to go to parties. He did. Did he? He enjoyed life. I believe he was a fun guy. I believe he'd make you laugh. I believe he'd make you cry. I believe he just liked to just talk to him. You know, not real about spiritual things all the time. Just say, hey man, how's your mama? He's that kind of guy. And, you know, he's our brother. Do we understand? He's our master, sure, and we got to honor him and glorify him. But he's our brother. How do you act to your brother? Mark, you got brothers. How do you act to your brother? Do you go up, oh, holy brother? No! I'm trying to say some things. Jesus is okay, man. And I'm not being disrespectful. I hope you understand. You know I worship him. And I praise him. And he's holy. He is the Son of the living God. But he was all right. Amen. You can just talk to him. You don't have to talk in King James. Amen. Aren't you guys? You write him a letter. You don't have to write it in New English. You know, in the, what do you call it, Karen, that stuff? Calligraphy. You don't have to write like that. You don't have to talk like that. He was a man just like you. A person, had feelings and emotions just like you. He cried. He laughed. He rejoiced. He enjoyed life. He was at one time a baby boy, just like your children, a grown man. Jesus was all right. He was the kind of guy you could just love and just lay down in the middle of the floor and just talk to him and enjoy a meal. And the last cup was passed after the last singing, and then they left. And that was the Passover, and that was the meal. That was the meal, and it was a memorial meal. The whole thing of Passover was to train the people to think back. Think about heredity. Think about your forefathers. Think about deliverance. Think about all. That's what Passover was about. And that's why the Lord chose the Passover, to say, do this in remembrance of me. When we have the Lord's table, we need to think back about that night when he had this meal. And we need to try to somehow in our minds go back to that point and lay down there with him and partake of this with him. And remember how he went to Gethsemane and he cried and he sweated as of great drops of blood, and how he was in torment, and how he wants us to pray. And we're no different from his disciples today, are we? We still sleep when we try to pray. And how they come and they arrested him, and they took him, and they beat him, and they scourged his back, and they hung him on the tree, and they drove nails in him, and they put a crown of thorns on his head, and how they stuck a spear in his side, and how he poured his blood out for you and me, and how he died, and how they took him and put him in the grave, but he didn't stay in the grave. And that's what he says, when you do this, you show the Lord's death. You're thinking, you're expressing, you're remembering, you're experiencing the Lord's death until he comes again. That's what communion's about. They weren't doing it. These Corinthians weren't doing it. And it was because of that, they allowed the schisms to get into themselves. Because they did not properly discern the body. They didn't properly understand and love one another and spend time with one another and hurt with one another and remember one another. And because of that, many were sick and weak and dying. And every time from that point on that the disciples went and had communion, what do you think they thought about? What do you think Peter thought about the next time he partook of the table of the Lord? And he led it. And he had his people sitting around him. Or the next time John had communion and he led it. And he had his people sitting around him. What do you think they thought about? They thought about that night when they did it with the Lord. They remembered. And what I'm trying to say to us is that's what we have got to do and train our children to do, is remember the Lord's death. Remember His death. Show it. Proclaim it until He comes again. Do you believe if we would do that, that we could stay out of schisms and divisions and doctrinal differences? We can all agree on that, can't we, Don? Can't we all agree? Can't Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Episcopals and Church at Lafayettes, can't we all agree on the Lord's death? If we can just do that, then we won't have divisions. And we can start seeing the body of Christ truly coming together. Father, thank you for Jesus.